This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Three North Carolina law officers have been indicted in the beating of Kyron Dwayne Hinton in East Raleigh. This week, a Wake County grand jury handed up felony assault indictments to Cameron Broadwell, who's a Wake County sheriff's deputy, and State Highway Patrol troopers Michael Blake and Tabitha Davis. Body cam footage has not been released, but photos of Hinton's injuries circulated on social media caused outrage. Thomas I. McDonald is a reporter for the News and Observer. He's been following this story. He has spoken with the victim. Thomas I., welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks.
So tell us what happened on the night that Kyron received his injuries.
Well, I talked with Kyron a couple of weeks after what happened. Kyron said that he had left a sweepstakes parlor around 10 p.m. that night. It was on April 3rd. Mm-hmm. He started walking south on Capitol Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Took him about 30, 35 minutes. He arrived at Yonkers Road and was crossing Raleigh Boulevard. He said as he was crossing Raleigh Boulevard, a Raleigh police officer stopped him, got out of the car, and wanted to know what he was doing out at that night, at that time of night. Mr. Hinton admitted to being upset and arguing with the officer, but he insisted that he kept his hands down, didn't make any threatening gestures. He didn't see the other officers who arrived. He said they were behind him. And he could hear voices, including one female voice. He said one of the officers punched him in the back of the head, and then other officers joined into the beating. He thinks the beating went on for at least a minute.
He was on the ground.
He was on the ground at this point. He said, but he managed to look backwards, and when he did, he saw an officer going to his sports utility vehicle and getting a dog out of the vehicle. Brought the dog back to where he lay, and the other officers allowed the dog to bite him at least 18 to 20 times while they were still punching him. At one point, he said one of his arms was cuffed, and the other arm was in the dog's jaws, in the mouth of the dog, who continued to bite him. They finally cuffed him, and at that point, he felt his trousers being pulled down. Once they were down, the officers allowed the dog to, as he put it, sniff his crack. And then at that point, he said that he thought the dog was going to, in his words, mess with my privates. And he said that's when he started praying aloud. And that's all he remembered. The next thing he knew, he woke up, he was in the hospital.
Where he stayed for 3 days?
3 days.
What were the extent of his injuries?
Mr. Hinton says that he suffered a broken nose, a broken eye socket, numerous dog bites on his forearm and his back. And I think he mentioned that he might have been bitten in the head by the animal.
So it's interesting because we've got three law officers arrested in this case. And here's a case where there was no viral video, body cam video or anything. We haven't seen the video yet. How did we become aware of the story?
Through social media. I became aware of it. A Raleigh resident who's one of the chairpersons of Raleigh has what are called citizens advisory committees, told me to take a look at what was going on with Mr. Hinton on Facebook. I looked on Facebook. I was really alarmed by the extent of the injuries that was shown. And luckily, the Facebook page where his injuries were shown belonged to Diana Powell, who is the founding director of North Carolina Justice Served, which is an organization in Raleigh that mentors young people who are incarcerated at the Wake County Jail. Luckily for me, again, it was Ms. Powell. I called her, and she happened to have Mr. Hinton right beside her at that particular moment. And so I ran over to the Starbucks where the two of them were sitting. Mr. Hinton is homeless, and so he, you know, kind of uses the Starbucks as point of his resting place.
It's interesting because, again, we've got this is not a case where there's been a viral video and police have waited for a long time. These indictments, the district attorney in Wake County got an indictment fairly quickly.
Fairly quickly. Again, I think we broke our story early this month or in late April. I think it was earlier this month. And so, we're talking about a two-week investigation by the State Bureau of Investigation.
Right. The county attorney said they waited, that the SBI was brought in to take a look, to view this video that we haven't seen yet. It's interesting stuff because Chiron Hinton himself said, well, it's off limits to us. The state legislature and former Governor McCrory have made that kind of video off limits. So it's not public record. We can't see it. So we only have Mr. Hinton's word for what's on there and the fact that the SBI has seen it and there have been subsequent indictments. But here's what Chiron Hinton, who was talking to reporters, said about that video.
You guys are here because of pictures and word of mouth. When you see the actual video footage, it's worse than a horror movie.
Chiron Hinton at a press conference after a Wake County grand jury handed up indictments for three officers, none of whom are Raleigh police officers, two state troopers, and a county sheriff's deputy. What were they doing on the streets of Raleigh?
Correct. That's one of the more intriguing parts about this story. Typically, Wake County officers patrol the county. And, of course, state troopers patrol the interstates. And so we're not quite sure why. What we are awaiting are any 911 recordings or police radio traffic. We requested both of those items.
What do we know about, what it was the police said? Why did they stop Chiron Hinton in the first place?
Well, according to the deputy who has been charged, Cameron Broadwell, Mr. Hinton was standing in the middle of the road, screaming and yelling and gesturing with one of his hands in the shape of a firearm.
And that's why they stopped. According to the sheriff's deputy, that's why they stopped him. Did they report finding a gun?
He was unarmed. They did not find a weapon, but he was charged with striking the canine that bit him, Loki, L-O-K-I. Mm-hmm. Those charges were last week dropped against mm-hmm. Mr. Hinton.
So there have been three indictments now. Police Benevolent Association has weighed in on this. What are they saying?
The Police Benevolent Association has been critical of both the high bonds. The officers were placed under $50,000 bonds each after their arrest. And they're also critical of the grand jury process. They are insisting that the deputy sheriff, Broadwell, should have been allowed to testify before the grand jury.
All right. So now what should we be watching in this case going forward?
Well, on May 25th, and Wake County Superior Court, members of the media have filed a petition for the release of the video so that it can be made public. Any body cam footage, dash cam footage, we want that to be made available to the public.
Also, there's some indication that there was a 911 call somehow part of this, but we don't know quite what that's all about, right?
Not quite sure about this 911 call. We have not yet heard from the Raleigh Police Department.
And what has the county attorney said about the reason for bringing this to the grand jury and securing these indictments?
Well, our reporting does not indicate specifically mm-hmm. what she's saying at this point. So we're not quite sure. It went from the SBI's investigation, the SBI completing their investigation, turning over their findings to the district attorney, and charges being filed.
And what about Raleigh PD? You mentioned that Raleigh PD was first on the scene, and the first to stop Mr. Hinton was a Raleigh police officer. Is there any more involvement with Raleigh PD in all of this?
No, but Raleigh police, soon after the incident became public, issued a statement indicating that they were aware of the incident and that they had turned over the investigation to the SBI.
All right, Thomas I. McDonald, a crime reporter for the News and Observer, thank you once again for joining us.
Thanks, Frank.
You can find out more about his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to talk about the challenges and rewards of youth caregivers. We'll talk about that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.